The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Book of Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10, where the Bible says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Then in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, Samuel is speaking, and here he's speaking, of course, to Saul. And the Bible says, "Hath the Lord so great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than a fat of rams." And so we see that God's will is that which is good. It is. We also see that God wants us to do the good will of God. So subject matter tonight on why should we obey God? Why should we obey God? As a born-again believer, I really believe that people ought to enjoy church. They ought to come to church and just enjoy it and have a good time. Now, one thing I enjoy about being the pastor here is you certainly do that. You enjoy church. You enjoy fellowshipping together. You enjoy serving God. And that's the way it ought to be in every church across America. We shouldn't be asking God, "How much little would you like me to do?" We ought to be asking God, "How much can I do for you?" You think about all that God did for us in sending his only begotten Son. Why should you want to cheat him? Yea, why would you want to do less than your best for him? If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be breathing. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be walking. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have been able to get out of bed today. But God has certainly been good. So let's consider some reasons to obey God. Statement number one, God created us. God created us. God gave you the being that you are. Because of that, you can see the goodness of God, and that's a pretty good reason. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, as I reiterate that for just a moment, the Bible says that we are his workmanship. Listen to it carefully. Now, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we are created in Christ Jesus. God has allowed us to live in a wonderful world. That which is the handiwork of God, we get to see every single day of our life. And so God created us. That's a pretty good reason to obey him. Statement number two, because God has goodwill toward us. God has goodwill toward us. James chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness," the Bible says, "neither shadow of turning." And so God has given us good things. He really has. You think about it, most of you did not walk to church tonight in the bitter cold. You actually drove, and what you drove had a heater in it. Most of you wore jackets tonight. Oh, that's good. But that would not have happened had not God been good to you. Most of you have a warm home, trailer, apartment, house that you go home to. And you can thank God for that. That is a part of God's goodness. By the way, if you ever get down, you ever get depressed, you ever feel like just giving up, you ever feel like sucking on your thumb, you ever feel like sticking your bottom lip out so much that you can't see how to walk because you got a droopy lip syndrome because you're down and defeated in life, start to think about how good God's been for you. Start to think about it. Get your pen and get your paper out and start listing all the good things that God has done for you. By the way, this will help your marriage. If ever you and your wife become cantankerous, one towards the other, where it seems like that you're just not getting along, then why don't you take a pen and piece of paper, get it out, and write down all the blessings that you have in your dear wife, or all the blessings that you have in your husband, and write those things down. And by the time you get done filling up sheet after sheet after sheet after sheet of all the blessings that your spouse is to you, you'll become more thankful than you will being an ingrate. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that God has goodwill toward us. Isn't it something? The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A person says, "Well, I tell you what, God has destined some to hell and some to heaven," does not know their Bible. No, God wants everybody to be saved. He said he's not willing that any should perish. If man man chooses to die and go to hell, it's man's fault. It's not God's fault. All right, statement number next. Well, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten backslidden? Don't raise your hand and confess. But have you ever gotten backslidden and all of a sudden you started to think about the goodness of God? The goodness of God. The goodness of God. And by the way, if you ever do get backslidden, again, start to think about the goodness of God, 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 the goodness of God. And I promise you, you'll probably front slide pretty quick. Okay? Because you cannot get away from how good God has been to you. Statement number one, why is it that we should obey God? I said, because God created us. Statement number two, God has goodwill toward us. Statement number three, God knows what is best for us. A child goes to the parent and says, I'd like to get my driver's license and start driving the family vehicle at the age of 7. And a parent says, that's ridiculous, you can't do that. But can I tell you, it's also ridiculous for some 17-year-olds to do that. Your parents ought not to give you the ability to get a license just because of your age. They ought to do it based on your maturity level. You'll get that by and by. They ought to do it on your maturity level. And teenagers don't dare, well, you know, I'm 16, I ought to drive, I ought to have a date, I want to be married by the time I'm 17. Well, you know, you've probably been sleeping on your side so long, your brain done fell outside your ear. You know, let your parents help you. Let your parents guide you. That's why they are your parents. That's why they're called parents. Okay? The book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 17, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. It says, which teacheth thee to profit. Watch the wording here. Which teacheth thee to profit. It says, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should goest. Now, what's that talking about? God knows what's best for us. God knows. You ever notice this in your Bible? You ever notice, and I've said this before, but have you ever noticed in your Bible that God never talks to you like you are a mature adult? Matter of fact, here's what God does. God uses the word when relatively talking to us or about us. He always talks to us or about us as his children. That means God never wants us to lose the idea that we have or gain the idea that we have arrived and we don't need him. We're always supposed to rely on him. Oh, you said, but I'm my own man. You're nothing without God. Well, you don't understand, preacher. I've got a business and I turned my business successful. Well, I've got news for you, buddy. If you weren't breathing, it wouldn't be successful. I'm saying this, God knows what is best for us. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 18, the Bible says, oh, that thou hadest, it says, hearken to my commandment, then had thy peace. It says, been as a river. He said, now first off, you would have hearkened to my commandments. Then, he said, you would have had peace like a river. He says, and thy righteousness as waves of the sea. He said, I've only asked you one thing to do, and you could have both of those. You could have peace. You could have righteousness. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. And he said, that's this. Hearken unto me. Hearken unto me. What's that mean, preacher? That means to obey him. Listen to him. Let him guide you. All right. So why should we obey God? Because God created us. Because God has goodwill toward us. Because God knows what's best for us. Statement number four. If we obey God today, then God will open up, listen to the statement here, exciting new opportunities for us later. Exciting new opportunities for us later. We have such a society that we live in a now age. I want to get paid now. I want the greatest benefits now. Give me what I deserve. Sounds like a bunch of prodigals. I want it all right now. But that's not the way that God works. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, the Bible says, he that is faithful over that which is least. is faithful also in much. If your parents cannot trust you to clean your room, how can they trust you to drive the car? If they cannot trust you in the least, they're not going to trust you with the more. By the way, that's in business. I owned my own business years ago in Florida. Can I tell you this? That if I could not trust an employee with the least, I'm not going to trust them with the more. It's just not going to happen. How do you choose Sunday school teachers, preacher? Let's see who can be faithful in doing the least. How do you choose bus captains, preacher? Let's see who can be faithful in doing the least. How do you choose people to be deacons in the church, preacher? Let's see who can be faithful in doing the least. Well, how do you choose people, pastor, to be able to be leaders of ministries? Let's find out who can be faithful doing the least. Nobody's patting them on their back. They're just faithful because of the good old-fashioned Bible character that they have in them, and it just naturally shows up. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, let me finish the verse. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. By the way, you ought to leave a good track record. Leave a good track record. If you're going to leave a job, it ought not to be because you had to. It ought to be because you have done so well that you have an advancement. And everybody knows it. Let your name be well spoken of. Statement number next. We see this, that we, if we obey God in any issue, if we disobey God, if we disobey God in any issue, we fail the test. My daddy said this, and he had good horseology. He said this. He said, if you failed, it must mean that you need to do it again. Another thing he said, if you didn't have enough character to do it right the first time, then you must have time to do it again. I hated that one. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible says, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, the Bible says, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 13, the Bible says, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before God exceedingly. Now, wait a minute. And so here was two men. By the way, God had blessed them both. I think that God blessed Lot a lot because he walked in the shadow of Abraham. That's my personal opinion. But it came time that these men had to separate. So the nephew of Abraham, Lot being the nephew, Abraham being the uncle, said to his nephew, now you can go whichever way you want to. Lot looked out and he said, well, I'm going to go that way because it looks good. Now, by the way, not everything is as good as it appears. Amen. You'll learn that later on. But here's what he did. Lot said, well, that just looks like the way I should go. Looks are deceiving. Be careful. Always make your decision based on Bible principles. Stay with this statement, not personalities. Not, well, so-and-so is doing it. It doesn't matter. God's the one that gives the blessing, not so-and-so. Amen. So always make your decisions based on Bible principles. Two P's involved, not personality. All right? Now, here's what we see. We see this, that here Lot chose that which is the well-watered plain. Well, certainly it's going to work out. No. It's going to work out better if you walk with God, and though you can't see the end result, you know God wants you to do something, and you trust God. That's called faith. And you trust God for the end result, knowing that your decision was right by God. All right? And so here, Abraham, by the way, you notice that Abraham never fretted over Lot choosing the more well-watered area. Did you know this, that in your Bible? He never fretted about it. He never tried to talk Lot out of it. You know why? Because Abraham knew that the blessing was not in the land. Abraham knew that the blessing was in the walk. And Abraham walked with God. Because Abraham walked with God, here's what he knew. Wherever I go, God will bless me. I'm going to give you a point in case to think on. There's been great churches. I'm talking about, yes, even in fundamentalism. Now, in every church that preaches good Bible doctrine, you'll find the same. But God does not bless a building. God blesses a people. But God blesses people individually. You say, well, so-and-so is the head of his family, and he's not doing this. You don't base what you do on so-and-so in his or her family. You base what you're supposed to do on Bible principle. Okay, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But did you notice some of the churches, even in fundamentalism, when the pastors died, the churches died? Oh, you say they were built on a man. No, I beg a difference with you. But I do believe this. I do believe that God puts his hand on a man. See, that's how come Abraham was not fearful. Abraham knew that wherever he went, God was going to bless. He had such a very mature relationship with God, he didn't care what part Lot chose. He knew God was with him. And so wherever he went, he knew God was going to be there, God was going to take care of him, and God was going to bless him. He knew that. That's how come Abraham was never threatened by man. Abraham did what was right to do because he knew what was right to do because God led him to do it, and he feared no one. So you see, if you disobey God in any issue, if you fail the test, then you're going to have to take the test again. Statement number next, think on this one. If we disobey God, we become a stumbling block to others. We become a stumbling block to others when we disobey God. The book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 14, the Bible says, he seemeth as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-law. And this is the story of Lot. So all of a sudden, the angels came down and said, get out. Get out. Get your family, get out of here. Get your family, get out of here. We're going to destroy the city, get out. So he went to his son-in-laws, and the Bible says, as Lot went to his son-in-laws trying to convince them to go, it was as one that would mocketh. You know why he wasn't living for God? By the way, it's hard to convince others to live for God if you're not living for God. It's hard to convince others to be serious with God if you're not serious with God. It's hard to convince others that you have a prayer hearing, prayer answering God if you're not getting through to God and God's not hearing and answering your prayers. It's hard for other people to get excited about God if you are a deadhead. Now, may I say this? You see that if we disobey God, we become a stumbling block to others. That's an example with Lot and his children. His daughters followed, the son-in-laws, if you will, and all the other family members that was relatives of Lot did not. His wife, but even his wife went out and looked back, and when she looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt. Still today, they can show you where she stood. Now, can I tell you that if we disobey God, we become a stumbling block to others? Statement number next, if we obey God, our children and others will be helped. Now, I didn't say obeying God's easy. Never heard me say that one time. I didn't say that obeying God comes without hardship. I didn't say that. You'll never hear that out of my mouth. But obeying God, even during the hard times, difficult times, trying times, temptational times, when you obey God, it helps your children. When we first started many years ago, and this is, of course, back in the day when Brother Larry knew me as an evangelist, but when we first started in evangelism, we slept in Sunday school classrooms. We slept in auditoriums. We slept in preachers' offices. We prayed for French fries. Yeah. We prayed for shoes. We'd have holes in our shoes. We'd pray for shoes. We'd pray for belts to keep our britches up, the boys would. We'd pray for gas. Our tires would get all bare, and we'd pray. And did you know God answered prayer? during those very first years when we were preaching very small churches, that and they wanted us to come, and I never turned down an invitation, and I never judged it on how big the church was, and I never judged it on how big the offerings would be. Never. Not one time. But we saw God come through over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now, why? Because when you do what God says to do, God will not let you down. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says, I know him, that he will command his children. Boy, I wish some daddies would get a hold of this. And so your children telling you, no, I don't want to. Here was a man that just had a little bit of about him, and he commanded his children. The Bible says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household. Boy, God pays attention, doesn't he? After him, and they shall keep, it says, the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. He said he's got a testimony. By the way, I'm not trying to be nosy, so I'm not really going to crawl into your house and ask you questions there. I'll just ask you here, and you can answer them in your own heart. But how does God know you? Does your children run the house? Are you leading the house as a godly daddy? What are you doing? Well, I can't tell them what to do. They're teenagers. God knew they were teenagers and knew they would become teenagers. Hello. By the way, it's harder to lead a teenager that wants to go the wrong direction than it is to lead a teenager that wants to go the right direction, but God still wants you to lead. Now, God knew that Abraham, he said, I'm going to testify. He said, I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify. This is God testifying. He said, I'm going to testify. Abraham, I know him. I know him. He commands his children to do what is right. By the way, children, let me help. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey thy parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. All right, so God gives a blessing. God will bless your children because you decide that you're going to do what is right to do. Statement number, by the way, isn't it something how God never changes? Amen. Well, I've got to change because I've got a young person and they don't want to do right. Well, God never changed for you. God's always been God, and God's always been right. Here it is, statement number 8. If we obey God, we will be greatly respected by God, and listen to my wording here, and godly people for years to come. If you obey God, you'll be greatly respected by God. Remember, it was God that mentioned Abraham. And by God's people for years to come. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, the Bible says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked, now watch what it says, the name of the wicked shall what? Shall rot. So you say, well, I'm concerned. I've got to be like my friends. I've got to be like my friends. I mean, my friends are wicked, and I just want to be just like them. Well, okay, they're going to rot, and you're going to rot. You're going to have a rotten time. But here's what God says. God said, I'll preserve the name of the just. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. If you love your nation, then live right. Then live right. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Statement number 9, I'm almost done. Statement number 9, one act of disobedience leads to more disobedience. Okay, so a daddy tells a son to do something, and the son doesn't do something, and so the son doesn't want to get in trouble. So what is the natural thing that a son that is disobedient, that doesn't do, to stay out of trouble, he tells a lie. And in order to not get in trouble for the lie, he tells another lie. See, one act of disobedience leads to another act of disobedience, which could destroy the entire interior of a family. So here's what we understand. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, God, I'm going to continue in sin so I can see your grace. Oh, no, sin has repercussions. Sin has detriment. Sin, if you would please, has shortfalls. So let's not do that. Let's be wiser than that. He says in verse 2, God forbid that we, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You mean, preacher, there's a way to not live in sin? I didn't say there was a way to be sinless, but if you know that there's a sin and you know it's wrong, you should have good common spiritual sense not to do it again. All right, statement number last, and that is this, okay? If we obey God, then God will deliver us from trouble. If we obey God, then God will deliver us from trouble. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Preacher Wells, you've got too good of an outlook on God. This is a statement an individual told me. I said, how could I have too good of an outlook on God when God is good? How can you do that? How can you walk around all the days of your life looking that somebody stole your best dog or shot that pesky cat? How in the world could you walk around all day long not smiling? Come on. God's good. God's been good to you all day long. God's good. You're getting out after I get done reading this next verse. You're going someplace else. God's good. You're married and she's still putting up with you. God's good. Here it is, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 8, last verse I read. The Bible says, the righteous is delivered out of, watch it now, trouble. The righteous are delivered out of trouble. Now, can I tell you, God is your shield and your buckler. God is the one that will protect you and love you and help you and guide you. The other day I was riding along minding my own business, but I wasn't paying too good attention because I was minding my business and not the cars around me. And so I put my blinker on, and I got that big old truck. And so I got the truck, the color crimson red. It is a dark seated red, and I got it that color for a reason. Number one, I want people to see me coming. Number two, I got it big because I want people to see me coming. When I get over in a lane, I'm not one of these jerky fellas. Boy, it makes me nervous to ride with somebody that's a jerky fella. I mean, they jerk it this way and they jerk it that way. You know, they're going to cause somebody to get in an accident. All right? I'll put the blinker on. And I'll pull over just as slow as Grandpa. I will. I'll put that nose in first. I'll put it in there. Now, you know, I do have a tendency, and I apologize, and I feel bad for this sometimes, but I do have a tendency to cut people off. But I cut people off nicely. I don't jerk it in front of them because they might hit me. I don't want them to hit me. So I'll cut them off. I'll just go real slow. Just kind of. And I got that big old truck, you know. And so I just kind of go real slow, and I'll get... Well, the other day I wasn't paying really good attention, and I'm sorry, but I was doing something else, and so I was driving along, and it's just, I don't know, I was doing something else. And so I was driving along, and I started to get over and had my blinker on, and man, this person, I guess they just did not want me to get over. I didn't even see them. They were in my blind spot. And so I'm getting over little by little, and all of a sudden they laid on this bullhorn type of thing, this fog horn, a little bitty car. I mean, the horn was bigger than the car. And they laid on that, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I mean, it sounded like a fog horn in the middle of the day. And so I looked over, and here's this little bitty car. I mean, I could have crushed him. Little bitty car. And he laid it on again, third time. And I got the idea. What was the idea? I'm getting back over here. Why? Because he gave me a warning sign. Hello. And sometimes God gives you a warning sign. Yeah. And God would say, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, it might be through the voice of the preacher. It might be through the voice of a Sunday school teacher. It might be through the voice of a visiting missionary. It might be through the voice of somebody that graces this pulpit as a preacher. It might be through the voice of dad. It might be through the voice of mom. It might be through the voice of somebody that's a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain or a true blue friend that just really cares. But all of a sudden, when you hear that warning sign, it might be time to reevaluate. Might be time to think it through. And it might be time to say, okay, maybe I need to reconsider something and obey God. Say, why? Because God's good.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.